even some of the children who are old enough to be listening would hold up their hands, because we all have. It's just a part of life. Because we can make decisions and we can act certain ways and say things that we later regret. And all of us have done that. And sometimes, perhaps you, like I, have acted that way intentionally. And I will say, I know I'm going to regret this, but I want to do it so badly, or it's something that I'm so determined to do that I go ahead knowing that perhaps regret will come later. Or even maybe the unforeseeable future deals us a bad deal, causes things to happen and turn out like we didn't intend, and we have certain regrets. But I say all of this to say that our subject tonight is not things that we regret. That's not what we're talking about. But it's to call our attention to that class of things, and to a class that is very closely related to things that we will never regret. Because if we see these in contrast, these become more important and isolated in a very special group of things. And I want us to think for a few moments tonight about some things that we can do that we will absolutely never regret so long as our heart continues to be right. So it's our purpose in this lesson tonight to call our attention to what some of these things are. Of course, we'll not have any kind of claim to mentioning every possibility. But I believe that those that I have selected are some that will be common to all of us and appropriate and relevant to our lives tonight. If something is so bad and wrong that it causes me to have regret, then a rule of thumb is, of course, that those are the kind of things that we ought to avoid doing. But on the other hand, if there are some things that are so right and good that according to God's standard, they will never cause us to have any kind of feeling of sorrow or feeling of disappointment that we did those things, then those are the kind of things that we ought to do. And so I exhort each of us to do these things. I exhort all of us to do the things that according to God's standard, that we will never regret. I would suggest, first of all, on this chart, that it certainly includes becoming a Christian. I realize that most of us in this assembly tonight are already Christians. There may be some who aren't. But I want us all to have in mind that becoming a Christian is something that we will never, never regret. Becoming a Christian is a process that involves several steps, and I want us to look at that for just a moment, something that is familiar to most. But yes, as we look at becoming a Christian, I want to look at it in what's involved for just a moment. Because becoming a Christian involves gaining faith in Christ, developing faith in the Son of God. He said in John chapter 8 and verse 24, "For except ye believe that I am, ye shall die in your sins." So it's necessary to develop faith in him. It is necessary also to repent of our sins. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." To avoid perishing, it's necessary for an individual to change their mind as a result of godly sorrow and change their behavior in such a way that there is a turning from sin to a life of righteousness and servitude to God. It also involves confessing with our mouth that he is the Christ. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made. Paul affirms in Romans the 10th chapter. And then as the Apostle Peter proclaimed upon the day of Pentecost in Acts the 2nd chapter, when those individuals were convicted, "What shall we do?" He said unto them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so becoming a Christian involves several steps that are important. But we would also emphasize on this chart that becoming a Christian results in great and wonderful things. And if you can see those, we have indicated here on the chart that it certainly involves being saved from sin. But I've also stated in this, we need to also have in mind that it's not only being saved from sin, it's being saved from the punishment of sin. I think sometimes people just get the idea that it's just sin, some vague, ambiguous kind of thing that we cannot see and touch. But when we realize that being a Christian means that we're being delivered from the punishment that is deserving of the guilt of sin before a holy and righteous God, then being a Christian is a very special, special thing. At the same time, as a Christian, we enjoy every spiritual blessing that is in Christ. And Paul said in Ephesians, the first chapter and verse 3, that God is to be blessed because of that. That we are children of God. We become God's children. And again, a very special relationship. To be identified as a child of God and to have God as our Father, one who loves us and cares for us as his own child. It also involves then, because we are children, if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. An heir is one who is subject to receive an inheritance. That's certainly true in the physical sense, but it's especially true in the spiritual sense. That an heir of God is one who is subject to receive the inheritance of heaven. And finally, on this chart, we have mentioned purpose and direction for living. Becoming a Christian just makes one feel that finally everything is as it ought to be. We studied in the adult class this morning from Romans chapter 8 how it's God's purpose to have us fit into his eternal purpose by becoming a Christian and developing ourselves in the image of Christ. And once we have done that, we have finally taken our place in God's eternal purpose. And it just feels right because it is according to all that God has done in creating us and placing us here upon the earth. Now, having said that, what I want us to see and understand and refresh our minds with is there is nothing on that chart, absolutely nothing, not one thing, that will ever cause an individual regret. Developing faith in Christ will not. Repenting of sins will not. When we openly confess our faith in Christ, that will not. We will never regret being baptized. And we will never regret all of the wonderful blessings that are ours because we become Christians. The only time I ever hear any regret associated with being a Christian is by those who, after said, I regret not becoming a Christian earlier in life. And my response to that always is, well, you may feel bad about that, but don't go back and second guess that. Just be thankful that you're a Christian now. But also I would emphasize that young people, the young people in this audience who are not Christians, you will never regret becoming a Christian in your youth. That when you are old enough to know and understand the truth, and what you must do as an accountable individual before God, you will never regret taking your stand with Jesus Christ. When I say that, I have in mind a young man that I am very familiar with, personally acquainted with, from our area, who made this decision after giving a great deal of thought and with some difficulty when he was, I believe, a junior in high school. But after that, he simply grew and developed to become a mature young man in Christ. He joined the Air Force. And of course, when a young man does that, you have concern as to what his future may be. He was just home for a visit just a short while ago. And this young man has done nothing but grow and develop spiritually. Where he is making a contribution to the church where he's located. He's doing his part. And he has never regretted becoming a Christian in his youth. And that's just one example that young people need to think about that. But at the same time, I want us to look at something else. Because there are other things that are also in this category. I would also suggest to you tonight that things we will never do. our moral purity. What God expects of all of us, including young people as well in this, is to maintain our moral purity. Maintain our moral integrity. To keep ourselves pure in Jesus Christ. I put some things on the chart that I think will help identify some specifics. And from those specifics, we can make some applications that I believe will be helpful. I have two basic things on this chart that include several things that can apply to all of our lives. First of all, I would suggest that this involves avoiding sexual immorality. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said in this passage, beginning at verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Now, I would stop there and place a note that when he's talking about your sanctification to the Thessalonians, he's talking about our purity. He's talking about our moral integrity. And he said, this is why this is something we will never regret. Because this is the will of God. And anytime any of us do anything that is specifically identified as the will of God, we will never regret doing. But Paul continues in verse 3 that ye abstain from fornication. That's a very specific instruction, very specific statement. But that's what needed to be said, and that's what needs to be said today. And that will always need to be a part of the teaching of the gospel of Christ. For this is the will of God, that ye abstain from fornication. Fornication is a broad word in the Greek language. As you probably know, it's a term that comes from the word pornea, from which our word pornography comes. And it's such a broad term that it includes every kind of illicit sexual relationship. Every kind. And it involves specifically premarital sex. It involves extramarital sex, adultery, as the New Testament calls it. But what Paul is saying is that it is the will of God that we abstain from that. That each, this is verse 4, each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who know not God. We have a very vivid illustration of that sometimes. Every time we seem like we turn on the television, we see an example of what Paul is talking about in the fifth verse. We see people who know not God who are exhibiting for public view and entertainment, according to the standards of the world and the entertainment media, passion of lust. That's exactly what Paul is talking about here. And we see that running rampant and presented all over. And it's presented to us, if we will allow. This is where we must exercise restraint in what Paul is talking about here. But also on this chart, I have included what Paul says here in the fifth chapter in verse 22. Abstain from every form of evil. There's no form of evil. There's no, in fact, appearance of evil that is excluded from this principle. Every single one is included. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. And what Paul is talking about here then, so far as our lives are concerned and the things that are in the world that confront us, that would blemish our moral purity and integrity, the temptations that are there for these things, for the drugs, the alcohol, and everything that's there to get us involved in what Satan wants us to do. But our point tonight is that we will never regret saying no. We will never regret avoiding the temptation and just simply refusing to yield to sin. We'll never regret doing that. Never. It hasn't been too long ago that I saw a poll of Americans. Perhaps you saw or have heard of it. Americans in general were asked, if you had to lie, if you had to tell a lie, for some reason to your advantage, would you be willing to do that? And it was appalling to me that 9 out of 10 in this survey, representing a cross-section of American society, 9 out of 10 people said they would. Yes, if I had to have to, I will. In other words, only 1 out of 10 would never lie under any circumstances. And that had better be Christians and the children of God. Again, this is an area where all of us can certainly strengthen ourselves and maintain our purity, and that we will never regret doing that. This is something that I would certainly exhort each of us to do, young people and all of us. We're all susceptible to temptations of the devil. We must always be vigilant and strong and be willing to stand for the purity of the cross of Christ, maintain that purity in our lives, and refuse those things that people in the world participate in for their own sinful pleasures. Those things have no part in the life of a Christian, and we shouldn't even allow them to influence us. And sometimes for us and for our children and for those who are influenced by the media, whether it's television, whether it's the movies, or whether it's the music that has the immorality, we need to try to overcome that and influence for good and for the purity of Christ. Well, there's still something else. I would also add to this. Spiritual growth. And with that, I'm suggesting that one thing we'll never regret is participating in activities that will help us grow spiritually. Each of us, as a Christian, is responsible for growing. God has placed that responsibility upon us. At the same time, God has provided activities for all of us to participate in. And I have anticipated the question, although everyone knows the answer. But I've written some things down on my chart for that, just so we can be specific and have specific applications. What are we talking about? Well, here are only a few. And while they may be few, each of them is important. God has provided activities for us to grow, including daily Bible study. These are simple, and don't discard them for oversimplification, because that's not true. Simply taking our Bible and reading the Bible each day. Simply taking the time each day to pray. Attending Bible classes that are so arranged and so taught and so prepared for as to promote spiritual growth of people of all ages. Listening to gospel preaching, the preaching of the Word of God as you have opportunity. Enduring life's trials, an activity, keep in mind, for spiritual growth. Not to overcome us, not to bring us down, not to discourage us, but keep in mind, if you will, that God has so designed life's trials for our spiritual growth. We saw that in Romans 8 this morning. But you remember, James also teaches us this principle in the very first chapter, beginning at the second verse, when he said, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations." The kind of temptations he's talking about there are life's trials, the kind that try and test our faith. Knowing, James, how is it that I am to count it all joy, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience? And let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. God has so designed that we experience trials in life so that our faith will be tested, knowing that the testing of our faith worketh steadfastness. And let it be known and understood that steadfastness, as James affirms, will have its perfect work, that we may be complete, mature. Spiritual maturity is what he's talking about. There's not an activity on there that we will ever regret. I know sometimes you probably have said, if there's something you think someone really ought to do, and you're trying to talk to them and trying to convince them to do what they ought to be doing, you say, you'll never regret doing this. And that's a motivating factor. While they may know that it may involve difficulty, it may involve some inconveniences. Well, that's kind of the way it is with being a Christian. It's going to involve some sacrifices. It's going to involve some inconveniences, some difficulties. And because of our faith, we're going to suffer at times. But we will never regret. Again, I have heard regret with regard to these, but oftentimes the way it is expressed, I regret not studying more. As people look back, yeah, the regret I have is I didn't do more, I didn't pray more, I didn't study more. I regret that I didn't take more advantage of the classes that were provided and prepared for my growth. But I'd like to add a note to this, that each and every one of these takes time, and right here is kind of the crux of the matter, isn't it? All of us lead lives that are busy. This is a busy world in which we live, a rapidly moving society. And all of these activities, every single one of them, takes time out of the day. We will never regret taking the time to do any of them instead of doing something else. We will never regret having chosen to go to church, to the assembly of the church, instead of whatever else we may have chosen to do. I'm not talking about being sick or employment schedules and things like this. I'm talking about choosing. We will never regret having our priority as the church. We will never regret having given up whatever it was that was necessary in order to study more, in order to pray more. It may be a little sleep. But we will never regret having given up a little sleep to learn and grow in God's Word. I have what I call a cardinal principle of human behavior. I say that knowing that every one of you already knows what it is. Maybe you don't call it that, but you know what it is. And that cardinal principle of human behavior is, as I stated, we, as human beings, always have the time for the things that are our priorities. I haven't met an individual yet in my lifetime who didn't have time for his priorities. I have met some individuals who didn't take the time for some important things, but I have never met the individual who didn't have time to do what was important to him or her. We all have 24 hours in a day, and the way that we use those 24 hours is established by our priorities. And we always have time for what is our priorities. We always do what we want to do, in other words. So what we need to do as Christians is to make sure that our desires, our heart, our love is always in the right place with the right priorities. And then we'll not be hearing ourselves say, I just don't have time to study like I should. I just don't have time to visit someone who's sick like I know that I ought to do. Or I'm so busy, I don't have time to go to all of the services of the church. Well wait a minute. You see, we have time for what is our priorities, the best that we can. I'm going to add something else. I don't think we can emphasize anymore the importance of family and family relationships, not only for the well-being of the family, but for the well-being of the church, the well-being of the community. Because God wants our homes and family relationships to be healthy and strong. And I'm suggesting with this thought tonight and studying upon this theme that one of the things that we will never regret is strengthening our family. Our family is one of the greatest blessings we will receive upon the face of the earth. And God has made every provision for maintaining and enjoying our family relationships. And one of the things we will never regret is strengthening every part of that relationship. And I took some things on the chart again. Again, this will enable us to be specific. First of all, let it be understood that this principle includes the marriage relationship. We will never regret strengthening our marriage. This requires effort on the part of both a husband and wife. Both must work to make the marriage good. And by working at it, bad marriages can be made good. Good marriages can be made better. Better marriages can be made heavenly. And all of that involves effort on the part of individuals, husbands and wives, who are loving the Lord and loving each other, to put forth the effort to strengthen that marriage relationship. I read a statistic recently, that it was an interesting thing, that it said, according to the U.S. government, of all of the numbers that they put out, their latest report says that 1 in 8 couples now stay together long enough to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. And I would wonder how many in this assembly have been married for 50 years. I know this church knows Weldon Warnick, and that you are probably aware that Weldon's father passed away just recently. And I preached his funeral. And one of the things that was remarkable about his father, when he was 92 years old, but further, that he and Mrs. Warnick, Sister Warnick, had been married for 64 years. And so people whose lives are rich and work together can be married a long time. Of course, there are a lot of factors in that, physical health and other things, we're aware of them. But the average marriage in this country now lasts for 23 years. But I also want to emphasize from this chart the parent-child relationship. Again, parents will never regret, and children will never regret. Let the children hear this point, too. Doing what will help strengthen your relationship with your parents. And your parents will never regret doing what they do to strengthen their relationship with you. And children, siblings, brothers, and brothers and sisters will never regret strengthening your relationship, bonding and being supportive, and being helpful and eliminating those rivalries that develop and those jealousies that sometimes cause the fussing and fighting. Get along and work together. Work at getting along and strengthen those relationships. And the point I'm trying to impress upon us, we will never regret that. Never. But I've also put at the bottom of this chart, this can be done with the help of spending more time together. We don't need people out in the world, although what they're saying is right when they say that families need to focus more on themselves as families and do more things together, eat, spend more time around the table together. And these are right and good. Plan activities together. I think I skipped one. I have it out of order here on my, sometimes it just takes something very simple. Even talking helps. Talking. A lot of times time is not taken just to sit down and talk. My wife and I have evaluated this at different times, and maybe you as a family have ways of evaluating it for you, but just simply look at how much time we spend in comparison with what we do for other things, talking together. A husband and wife talking, just talking, communicating, expressing thoughts and hearing thoughts. And at the same time, strengthening the spiritual life of each family member. It doesn't matter. It's the husband taking the leadership role, strengthening the spiritual life of his wife, the spiritual life of his children, and the husband and wife working together to strengthen the spiritual lives of your children, teaching them and nurturing them in the admonition of the Lord. Again, we want to do something. We want to spend our time. We want to accomplish something for which we will never have disappointment. We will never have regret for having put forth the effort and accomplished what we could. And one of those things is, according to God's will, to strengthen our families. I have one other thing on this chart that I'm going to close this study with. And this is have a familiar ring, especially for those who have been working and preparing for the Vacation Bible School. You will never regret being a faithful member of the church that Jesus built. You recognize that to be the theme of the study this coming week. But it is true that Christ built only one church, and God expects us to be a member of that church. But it's not only important to be a member of Christ's church, it's important to be a faithful member. And to be a faithful member of the Lord's church oftentimes requires a lot of sacrifices. Most of the time it does. Overcoming whatever would discourage or hinder us are some things we talked about earlier. But we will never regret the sacrifices that we have to make and the difficulties that we have to overcome in order to continue to be a faithful member of the church that Christ built. Never regret it. There may be times when we may wonder, even in the song that we sung tonight, our faith may waver. We're simply human, but a part of that process is us dealing with those in such a way that our faith strengthens, and all of us recognize the need for this in our lives. So I exhort each of us, as we participate and close this sermon tonight and look to the coming week beginning tomorrow night and going through Friday, to anticipate the study of the church that Jesus built with the idea that such a study will strengthen our faith and strengthen our love and appreciation for it. Hopefully will stimulate our desire and motivate us to do more in participating in it. And we look forward to that study, and I exhort each of us to participate in that and to grow and develop in our appreciation of the Lord's church. But always be a faithful member of the church that Christ built, and we will never regret. But as we come to a close of our study tonight, there may be someone in this assembly who is not a member of the Lord's church, that this very night, as you've come to an understanding of the truth, that you may desire to render obedience. Your obedience may be such that you, at this point, you already believe in Christ. Repenting of your sins, you want to turn and lead a life of righteousness. What you need to do then, at this moment in time, is to confess with your mouth Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and to ask for assistance in being baptized for the remission of your sins. You may be an erring child of God that desires to make correction, and we know certainly that that is a part of the invitation of Christ, for individuals to come to Him and to confess their sins and seek God's forgiveness for the sins that you have committed. But all of us, as we look to these things that we know are things that we will never regret, let each of us always strive to the best of our ability to do them. But one thing I would say in closing upon this invitation tonight, one thing that if you're not a Christian tonight that you will never regret doing, there may be some uncertainties and you don't know what all will be involved, but you will never feel a sense of disappointment or grief over having finally made the decision to do what you know to be right, and that is obey the truth of the gospel of Christ, give your life to the Lord, and live a life of devotion to Him. You will never regret that. If you're here tonight and desire to do that, won't you make it known while we stand and while we sing the song?